front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. We interview people from all realms of the open source universe to find out what's hot right now, share some hardships and headaches, give a little advice, and learn about the people behind the screens. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter, at Lullabot, or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you! Today, I am behind the screens with DrupalizeMe's Joe Schindelar. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Chris.
Thanks for taking the time to stop and talk with me a little bit today. I know you've got a lot, probably, that you're prepping for, getting ready to head out of town and actually deliver a keynote in DrupalCon Vienna.
Yeah, you bet. It's awesome to be able to chat with you a little bit and catch up.
So most of us know you either from the videos that are playing in our living rooms or listening to past podcasts. But tell us a little bit about what you do over there at DrupalizeMe and how long you've been around the company and with Drupal.
Sure. A lot of people, if you know me, you probably know my face on a lot of DrupalizeMe videos. I work at DrupalizeMe, and I am the lead trainer and lead developer, which means I spend, in any given week, I spend probably about half my time working on training materials for DrupalizeMe, whether that's like writing tutorials or recording video or learning how to use some element of Drupal and so that I can explain it to other people. And then about 50% of my time doing kind of everything else that you do at work, including maintaining the DrupalizeMe website and answering email and talking to people in Slack and that kind of stuff. I've been doing that. I just actually had my 7-year anniversary at Lullabot, which means I've basically been working on DrupalizeMe for about 7 years at this point, which is crazy. And then I've been doing Drupal stuff for considerably longer than that. I'm going on probably closer to 12, almost 13 years that I've been doing stuff with Drupal.
I can't imagine how challenging that is to go, like your job is to learn Drupal and then teach that to somebody else, whereas the rest of us are trying to learn Drupal so that we can build our damn websites on budget.
Right.
So you say you spend about 50% of your time doing all that. What's the hardest thing for you to do, or the most challenging thing, I suppose, when you're trying to, or just trying to keep up with Drupal 8, I guess?
Yeah, I think probably the most challenging thing for me is learning how some particular thing in Drupal works, right? Like whether that's how do plugins work or how do views work and how am I going to teach this? And I feel like reading the documentation and learning how to implement plugins is one thing, and learning how to use the plugin system, quote unquote, in the real world, where you're trying to solve real problems and not just write code for the examples module, are sort of two very different things. I often find that I spend a lot of time trying to talk to other people in the community about the things that they're doing with Drupal in order to try to get a sense of, you know, what are the challenges that you're running into when you're working on a client project and you're, you know, writing migrations, what are the hangups and what should I be trying to learn about so that I can teach people? It's like the, you know, you read the documentation and you run the example code and it's like you're working in a lab. And of course, everything works just right when you're in the lab. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and a lot of the DrupalizeMe videos, it's really funny. You know, I run the drush command and then a bunch of editing happens. And 5 seconds later, it's like, ta-da, the migration ran. And in reality, it was like, wow, that was like 5 weeks of me figuring out what code to write in the right order so that when I ran this command, it would actually work. And like that doesn't always show in the videos. And that's sort of the thing that I find the most challenging is sort of figuring out how to teach people about, like, not just here's how you implement a plugin or write a migration, but also the pitfalls that you need to be aware of when doing so.
Mm-hmm. That would actually be a fun video series, the DrupalizeMe outtakes.
like, what would it be like to record me trying to debug some problem in Drupal? And I'm like, well, it'd basically be like 8 hours of me being like, change the line of code, refresh. No, still don't get it. I mean, could you imagine like thinking out loud while you're debugging? And now I'm going to open this random PHP file and go to this line, and I'm just going to read it and see what I can figure out. Maybe I'll go over here and hit refresh. I think I need some more coffee.
Then 15 minutes of just dead silence, nobody in the chair.
Totally.
That's kind of like what I do when we do some of the mentored sprints at the end of DrupalCons, is I find when I'm driving on the computer showing a bunch of people how to get started or set stuff up that I'm talking along with myself as I'm running the commands to help get the point across. So I would be interested in watching that. I think that'd be, at least for a little while, it'd be fun. But
and I think that there's so much value in that, though. Like you're saying, you know, you go to the mentored sprint and the opportunity for someone else to watch you go through the process of solving a problem is so valuable, because, you know, you have all of this experience where you're like, okay, well, I've seen something similar to this and I kind of know where to start looking. And I, you know, I'm good at searching Google for Drupal related problems because I've done a lot of that in the past. And you're able to sort of, with all the sort of background knowledge that you have, tie together all these loose threads in a way that someone who's new to this is just like, how did you figure that out? And it's like, well, experience. I figured this out from 10 years of experience.
Yep. Exactly. That's what I always tell people. Like, I only know this because I've broken Drupal every way possible. Before I get into the advice piece, because I feel like there's a lot of great nuggets we can take away from this here, I prefaced it in the intro. I want to talk just a bit about your upcoming keynote that you're giving in DrupalCon Vienna. You've given a number of presentations at different camps and conferences before, and you've done a keynote at Drupal Camp Mexico. But this will be your first keynote at a DrupalCon. Tell me a little bit about how that differs from the other presentations you've given.
You know, I feel like for some reason, this just, my initial reaction to this was like, well, this is DrupalCon. That means this is really important. Like, what could possibly be more important than being on the community keynote stage at DrupalCon? And that's sort of certainly has affected my mental state when thinking about and preparing for the keynote. At the same time, there's an element of like, well, I've given a talk similar to this one before, and like you said, I've given talks in the past, and is there really any difference when you're talking to a room of, you know, 30 people versus a room of 300 people? Like, you hopefully you still deliver the same quality of presentation and that. So
As far as the preparation goes, basically just kind of keeping your mind level that it's just a presentation. There's just a few more people watching this time.
I try to be really good about practicing a presentation before I give it to a real audience. One of the things that I try to make sure that I do especially is like say the words out loud a few times. Before you're like standing up there and you're giving the presentation, and then the slide comes up and it's like, you've thought about all the things that you want to say on this slide. And when you think about it, like in your head, you can think all of those thoughts in like 10 seconds. And you're like, okay, cool. When this slide comes up, I'm going to cover bam, 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 flip to the next slide. And then when you actually have to say the words out loud and like you fumble around and you're like, should I say it this way or should I say it that way? Should I use we? Should I use you? And so I find that it helps for me to kind of go through and for each slide, practice a couple of times, like just saying my thoughts out loud. And I try to be good about that. I would say in this case, you know, there's certainly the added pressure of the label keynote that has made me even more diligent about trying to practice some of that stuff. I actually had a really cool experience yesterday. I went to the Twin Cities Drupal user group and I asked them if they would be willing to let me practice my presentation and then give feedback at the end. And so I got to run through the presentation and fumble through some parts of it and do really well at other parts. And then at the end, sit around with a group of my peers and get a bunch of feedback from them on. And there was some really great feedback, you know, certainly some slides that I'll make adjustments to and reorder things a little bit so that the transitions are smoother. And I'm grateful to have had that opportunity.
Yeah, that's, I think, one thing that people underestimate when putting together a presentation is just how it sounds, like you said, when you're saying the words out loud.
Right.
That's one thing that I took away from the public speaking class I took in college was I remember having to make a video, and this is back, we had VHS videos that we had to do. Everyone had to go get a blank VHS tape to plug in and then record themselves delivering a presentation. And I picked out so many of those just unfavorable mannerisms. Like, I realized I would clap my hands before every major sentence, or like, you pick out all the uhs and the ums. But then, yeah, you realize those parts that get a little bit tricky in your presentation, you might fumble through, or you can think of, oh, I wanted to say it this way, but it sounds better when I say it if I say it this way.
Yep.
And so I would absolutely recommend that if you do it in front of your peers, like at a local camp, is a great idea. And if you can't do that, even just turn on the recorder on your computer and deliver it to your computer, or stand in front of a mirror and just say it out loud. It completely changes the way that you approach things, and it breaks down some of those nerves a bit too when you finally hear your own voice.
I like the idea of recording it and then playing it back. You know, one of the things that I struggle with a little bit is if I'm not talking to another person, it's really easy for me to like pause and rewind and say the same thing over and over again a couple of times. Whereas when you're like, you're giving a presentation for real, you're not likely to stop and be like, nah, that's not quite how I wanted to say it. And then say the phrase again and be like, that's closer, let me try again. And when I'm just talking to my wall or to a mirror, it's pretty easy for me to end up doing that. And so things that force me to do the presentation without stopping are really valuable.
Yeah, I totally see that. We've covered a lot of great stuff, and actually I have a ton more questions, but I want to keep with the history and the essence of the podcast and keep these short. So I'm going to jump to, I'm actually going to change this to two pieces of advice, because I feel like we've covered two really big topics here that I like. So the first one is, I'm somebody who is newer to the community, but I really want to get involved, and I want to attend the sprints like at the end of a DrupalCon, or some camps do them as well.
Yeah.
How would you recommend I approach that?
You know, I would say, imposter syndrome is a real thing. And for a lot of people, myself included, when you're trying to step into those new roles or outside of your comfort zone, you know, participating in the community, attending a sprint, giving a presentation, any of that, there's this tendency to be like, why should I go to the sprint? Chris is going to be there. He knows way more about this stuff than I do, and he'll be better at it anyways. Like, what do I have that I can contribute that he couldn't do better than I can? And just this reminder that like, yeah, well, maybe that's true, that other people have more experience with that specific thing than you do. You know, each and every one of us is a unique person, and we all have different past experiences, and we know in all kinds of information that is related to Drupal or even not related to Drupal. And when you're contributing to the Drupal community, one of the things that you're doing is you're bringing all of that background and experience with you, and you're helping sort of turn our community into a more diverse group of people. And the more diverse the group becomes, the better we'll get at solving all kinds of crazy problems together.
That's a great answer. I really like that.
Yay.
All right. And the second one I wanted to get to, giving these presentations and getting up in front of people, just that notion of taking it seriously and practicing.
Yeah, I would say the number one thing I would say, it's like you'll hear people all the time, yes, you should practice. And all of us are like, yes, I get it. I should totally practice. My number one thing is like, say the words out loud before you're going to say them in the presentation. And it, for me, that's just a super valuable exercise to go through.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I that's excellent advice. You just made me think of one more thing I wanted to ask you. What got you up to do your first presentation? If there's people out there who are one, like, who maybe they have this idea, like all the important people in Drupal are the ones who give presentations. I'm the one who sits in the crowd listening to them and learning from them.
I'm actually going to talk about this a little bit in my presentation in Vienna. And it basically boils down to when I attended my first Drupal event in 2008, Drupal Days in the Twin Cities, I gave a presentation not because I felt like I knew enough about Drupal that I had things that I could teach people, but because I wanted to attend the event without having to take a day off of work. And in order to convince my employer that it was worthwhile for them to send me to the event and for me to not have to take PTO, I said, I'll submit a presentation. And if it gets accepted, I'll put our logo all over it and we can call it marketing. You know, it's a great opportunity for me to plug our company and maybe meet some other people that know about Drupal. And so I gave a presentation about the Devel module because that was like the thing at the time that I was most familiar with. Totally feeling like I'm sure that everyone in the room already knows what the Devel module is and knows more about it than I do. But at least they'll get to look at our logo, and I don't have to take the day off of work.
That's fantastic. And so what happened in that session? Did people actually show up?
Oh, yeah. People showed up. It was like a 30-minute session, or I had 30 minutes to deliver the session. And I got up there and basically like nervously ran through all of my slides in like 12 minutes or so. I definitely covered the Devel module in its entirety. And I know this for a fact because I had printed out the source code of the module, like actually printed it out on paper so that while I was riding the bus to and from work, I could read the source code of the module and like make sure.
Oh, wow.
And I like used a highlighter to like mark up parts of it. And I was like, all right, got to make sure I cover this in the presentation. It went fine. You know, so I've got this 30 minute time slot. I finished my presentation in like 15 minutes. And then it's just this awkward, like, oh no, now I've got like 15 minutes of QA. I hope nobody asks any questions because I definitely won't know the answer to the questions that they ask. And of course people ask questions and it turns out I actually did know the answer to some of the questions, which was kind of cool. And I didn't know the answer to some of the questions too, but other people in the room did, and they were willing to chip in and, you know, sort of add their voice to the conversation and help answer those questions. So in the end, it was cool. We all learned a bit about the Devel module, and I got to say that I was a presenter at a conference. That was cool.
Oh, that's a great story. I love that. There's so many great things to pull from that. I love that you printed out the source code and was reading it on the way to work.
I used to do that all the time. Like before I had a laptop or like a computer of my own at home, I would like print out the HTML for something that I was working on at work, and I would take it home, and then I would like look at it, and I would mark it up, and I would think about it, like, you know, well, and bring it back to work the next day and like type in the changes that I had marked up on my printed out version of the page.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
These days, you know, you try to print out like any Drupal 8 module and it's like,
oh geez,
you know, 300 lines of boilerplate code and like 5 lines of like, and this is the part that I actually care about.
Mm-hmm. And then they're all nested in like 13 file folders deep.
Yeah, totally. Yep. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. You get one file folder out of place and all of a sudden nothing makes sense anymore.
Yep.
Oh man. So Joe, you mentioned that you gave a presentation at the Twin Cities camp and you're now back living in the Twin Cities.
Yep.
And so I have to ask, if Minneapolis and St. Paul got in a fight, who's going to win?
Minneapolis.
Ooh, all right. So we have 5 Lullabots living in the area up there now, including you.
Yep.
So somebody's going to end up having to be the tiebreaker at some point.
Okay. but definitely Minneapolis.
I haven't asked this question to anyone yet. We'll see if you've got an answer for it. Everybody has a spirit animal, but what is your spirit module?
My spirit module is definitely the Examples Project. That is, you know, as someone who cares a lot about teaching and writing example code and documentation, I feel like I have to say that that's my favorite module. And it also is, because you need to do anything with Drupal, you can start by going to the Examples Project and copying and pasting that and then changing the name and being like, look, I solved the problem.
Yep, there you go. That's a great answer. We've covered a lot already. So I'm going to jump into... If you woke up tomorrow and there was no more internet, what would Joe Schindelar do?
Like the internet is just out for a few hours or a few days, or like the internet is just gone?
It's just gone.
If the internet was gone, if I woke up tomorrow and the internet was gone, I would probably start out by being really sad because I very much love the internet. And then I'd go outside and I would... probably need to try to find a job. So I would be interested in like working as a bike mechanic, working with bikes in some way. That would be kind of fun. Either that or, you know, when you go hiking and you're like 2 miles into the trail and you come across like a wooden bridge that somebody built over a creek, or like a set of stairs like chiseled into the rock. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, you know, this is a section of the country where they don't allow like motorized vehicles. And you're like, how did they get the wood here to make this bridge? I think I would do that. I would just like carry big pieces of wood into the forest and build things.
That is going to be a fantastic soundbite. Oh, that's great. That's exactly, that was where I was heading with that question. All right. So to close it off, I always like to end each episode with a little bit of thanks and gratitude. So is there anybody, a person, a group, or an organization or anything like that, somebody that you would like to say thank you to or to express some gratitude towards for maybe giving you a little push when you needed it or helping you along the way?
Oh, man. Yes, all kinds of people. I'm going to say thank you to all of the people that attended my first presentation at Drupal Days in 2008, many of whom I'm still friends with today. And, you know, just for making it what could have been a very challenging and awkward experience become something that was very positive and ultimately led to me, you know, having the courage to do this again and again, and ultimately the opportunity to end up on the stage at DrupalCon giving the community keynote. So thanks, Twin Cities Drupal Camp.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yay. Well, now I have to go back to work, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Could you actually make the internet go away?
Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Screens. If you have ideas for questions or segments, or if you're organizing a camp or an event and you would like to promote it, or if you just have some cool stuff you want to share, tweet us at Lullabot or drop me an email at chris@lullabot.com. Also, if you're liking the podcast, don't forget to go onto iTunes and give us a rating and a review. Until next time.